And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Get your popcorn ready.
It's game time, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
a team that is known as Stoppers.
The Athletic presents Hogan Johns.
Every single play, go take it. Bring that juice. Let's go get it. Come on.
Chicago's best Bears coverage.
Go Bears.
Go Bears.
From NBC Sports Chicago, it's Adam Hogue.
I do think he has the support of his teammates. Why would you not be rooting for him to succeed?
And from The Athletic, it's Adam Johns.
I don't mean to psychoanalyze this stuff, but this is what we do in Chicago. This is what we do with our quarterbacks. And this is the biggest story in town.
Here they are. The Adams, Hogan Johns.
What's up? Welcome in from Indianapolis, the NFL comp. Oh, no. That's not where we are. We are at home. The pandemic is still going, and there is no NFL combine, but there is media availability with the general manager and head coach, Adam Johns.
Yeah. The messaging felt the same. We can only talk about so much. I hope you can respect that. Opening statement for Ryan Pace. We've heard that before. Made me miss it, though. It did. I really enjoy our trips down to Indianapolis. There's a lot of information you could get down there, just from like working purposes. The bars, you know, like
stuff that sticks with you all year.
Yes. Yes. And it's different now, and it's changed the job a bit. It's also great to hang out with colleagues and whatnot. So yeah, I missed it today. It felt different. The messaging again was the same, but it felt different not being in Indy.
Definitely, there's just
I missed it. I miss it.
I miss it too. I love the combine, and that was really the last thing we did that was relatively normal in this job. Was that last trip we were in Indy? In retrospect, it's a miracle that it was not a super spreader event. And then pretty much a week after that, everything shut down. So, and things are operating pretty much the way they did from this point on last year with free agency. One big difference is that instead of pro days just not happening like last year, at a certain point they got cut off. They are happening, and that's really what's taking place at the combine. So it's a weird thing that everybody's working through. But anyway, we did get to talk to Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy as they still spoke like they normally would in Indianapolis, and we have some things to talk about. Welcome in. Hogan Johns with you. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. You can read me at NBCSportsChicago.com. Already got a column up on the quarterback situation, the comments that were made about Mitch Trubisky today, and then there'll be more coming as well. Johnsy's coverage is up on The Athletic. TheAthletic.com/HoganJohns is where you go to subscribe. You can get Kevin Fishbane's stuff there as well. And Dan Pompey wrote about Jim Harbaugh, too. I haven't read it yet. Saw it, and I'm going to read it.
The quarterback series continues.
Yeah.
And this one quick note on this. The guy played special teams. I did not know that, but it blew my mind. You drafted Jim Harbaugh in the first round, and you let him play special teams? And you'll wonder why this organization can't get the quarterback position right. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, like imagine.
Cool,
if they,
check it out.
Imagine if they had Mitch Trubisky play on, like the kickoff coverage unit,
covering kicks.
He's a good athlete. While Mike Glennon was starting.
Yeah, he's a good athlete. He could be a gunner. We need somebody out there. Mitch, get out there.
Hey, we'll
cover
the
that punt.
The Saints do it with Taysom Hill.
Don't say that. I know what you're saying, but.
Hey, I started seeing pictures of T-shirts flying in today.
Yes, keep sending them.
including from my dad.
I saw that one. He was the first one.
Apparently, he got like expedited shipping because he's my dad or something. I don't know. I still haven't gotten my shirts, but he got it. No, ours should be coming too, and I can't wait. I'm actually like I'm sitting here like I must have checked my front door like seven. It was like Christmas. I was checking my front door all day today. Are they gonna come? Are they gonna come? Anyway, the ones we've seen on Twitter, they look awesome. Send us those photos as your shirts come. They should be arriving if you pre-ordered them at the beginning. Honestly, if you pre-ordered them at any time, they should be coming relatively soon. And if you just order them now, it's no longer a pre-order. So they should come relatively quickly. And shipping is free on all the shirts, unless you want expedited shipping, which you can pay a little bit extra for. But shipping is free, included in the price of the shirt. We appreciate everybody that have gone on to obviousshirts.com and bought our first collection. We got more coming, too. I already got like a long list of ideas. So there's going to be more shirts coming.
Oh, Ebbs and Flows is coming.
Yeah, Ebbs and Flows is coming. And I still feel dumb that by far the most popular shirt is just our logo. And that was not one of the first four we dropped.
It's a sweet look, though.
But we added it within 30 minutes, and people are buying it. So anyway, thanks to everybody for doing that. Again, if you have not bought a shirt, you'd like to, obviousshirts.com. You'll see the big Hogan Johns logo on there. And or it's up on my Twitter feed right now at Adam Hogue as well. All right. So I think the two biggest topics, the quarterbacks, and then there's Allen Robinson. There's some other things too. I mean, I got a list of some things that were said that are relatively interesting. There is the rest of the roster to talk about at some point in the offseason. But let's start with this quarterback stuff. So nothing today was surprising. I thought that there's maybe John's like a 2% chance Ryan Pace would come out and be like, yeah, you know what? We've talked to Mitch Trubisky and we've met and we've decided that we're going to mutually part ways. And that's, I mean, that happens every once in a while at the combine. They said that about Cody Parkey's situation a little bit more obvious, but it was at the combine 2 years ago that Pace did come out and say, yep, we're going to be releasing Cody Parkey. A little bit of a different situation here, and I don't know that there's any advantage to just saying, oh, Mitch isn't going to be back, because I guess you never know how this is all going to shake out. That being said, let's just put it this way. I wouldn't put too much stock in his answer today saying everything's on the table, including Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, even Matt Nagy seemed to go out of his way to use the name Mitch a couple times today. Just you would throw that in there. You know, Mitch and Nick. Nick and Mitch. They're a boy band or something. Like he would throw that in there every now and then just to show he's an option on that table. But let's be honest. Like, come on, Adam. Like, this isn't happening. We all know a split is what's best and what's expected still.
Yeah, look, here, as much as that maybe one quote turns into headlines, everything's on the table, when you're asked about Trubisky, I think, first of all, and this is what I wrote in my column today, they didn't say much. They never say much. They're not going to say much, and it doesn't matter. Because if you paid attention to Ryan Pace throughout his entire time as general manager, it's never about what he says. It's about what he does. And he has a pretty strong track record of making big moves. So, I know some people are frustrated, oh, Pace didn't say anything today. I don't think any GMs are really saying a whole lot. I mean, I guess they're still... Look, John Lynch came out, was a little bit stronger on keeping Jimmy Garoppolo.
What I'll say is that last year, when him and Nagy talked about having competition for Trubisky, we want competition, and competition's good for all positions, not just quarterback, but every position on the roster. We need competition. Like that, like I remember asking people around the league about that. What do you think about this? Oh, I remember talking to one agent who's got quarterbacks. That means they're open for business. He's not really saying it, but
yeah,
he's saying it. So there's some reading between the lines that you have to do, but I just cannot... They're not going to play their cards, at least fully publicly, but I just cannot see a situation where Trubisky's the Bears quarterback in 2021. It's just, I don't even think he wants to be here.
Well, and that's where I was kind of going with what I was just saying is if you, first of all, don't put too much stock into what they're saying. But if you are going to analyze what they're saying, and I guess that's what we're doing right now on this podcast, there was just as much, if not way more, about the quest to upgrade a quarterback.
Which is what they're doing.
Right.
Which is the quest they've embarked on.
Which is not a conversation they were having after 2018, when Mitch was very clearly the starting quarterback. You don't just go into the combine and be like, oh yeah, you know, we're looking at all avenues, free agency, trades, the draft. You only say that if you're looking for an upgrade, which they very, very, very clearly are. So, in conclusion, the overwhelming chances to me, and I've been pretty strong on this podcast about saying this, is that at a minimum, I believe that they're really going to try to make a big move. Whether or not that happens, a lot of that's out of their control. There's no guarantee that Seattle's moving Russell Wilson, for instance, and there's certainly no guarantee that Houston's willing to trade Deshaun Watson. There's no guarantee you can trade up in the top 10 to get a big quarterback. You know, so but those are all avenues I guarantee you are towards the top of their list of things that they're talking about, willing to do at a certain price, which was a question you asked today, Johns. You know, what is the limit?
There has to be. Right, there has to be. I get, like, you see all these mock trades out there with positional players and whatnot, like, but there has to be a line drawn somewhere, right? Like, let's not get crazy. What was Pace's word? Reckless? You can't be overly reckless. You can't. I get the idea of going all in for a quarterback, but I like using Deshaun Watson as an example. He was outstanding this season, and the Texans went 4-12 because the rest of the team is a mess. I get that it's easier to build around that quarterback once you have him, but I don't know. Aaron Rodgers still only has one quarterback or one Super Bowl. Isn't that always a discussion up there about adding to his receiving core or finding protection for Deshaun Watson or helping out Drew Brees? I'm just throwing different names out there, but there's got to be a limit to these acquisitions if you're going to go down that path.
Well, I would just say that it's always hard to build a complete team in the NFL. No matter whether you have that high-paid quarterback or not. And I'd still rather be the team that has that known quantity of quarterback and build that way. So, I mean, I think the counterpoint to what you're saying, Johns, is what's the road to the Super Bowl right now as is, you know? And that's, I mean, that's the endless conversation.
That's fair, but yeah, no. But yeah. You look at Tom Brady dropping into Tampa now, completely reinvigorated that organization. But you still had Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Gronk came out of retirement for him. You drafted Tristan Wirfs in the first round. You already have a good offensive line. That defense was already pretty loaded. It's a good team. Not just a good quarterback. That's a good team.
Yeah, I think that what's interesting about the Russell Wilson thing is, well, one, it's interesting when you read that great Athletic story on the whole situation. A lot of the genesis for this, at least in the last month or so, seems to be Russell Wilson looking at what Tom Brady did in Tampa and thinking that maybe he could do that if he made a similar move. Now, it's different because he can't just sign. The team he's going to go to is going to be giving up assets. But, you know, I'm not saying that Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney are quite Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, but, you know, there's some pieces there. And I think if you're, I don't know who Russell Wilson can realistically get to join him on the cheap, that would be similar to like Antonio Brown showing up and Gronk showing up. But I would also argue, like, Gronk was a significant addition, I guess, but like what Antonio Brown ended up giving them wasn't much, you know. So It's an interesting scenario. I find that more realistic than the Deshaun Watson discussion. I'll say that. Well, for one, because we know the Bears are on Russell Wilson's list, at least. That helps.
I like the question from John Greenberg today, asking Pace if they keep tabs. Like, of course they keep tabs, but like how much they watch the social media interactions.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, you have to nowadays. When you see reports like that, you're probably already talking. You've already probably called the Seahawks just because there's rumors. You don't think there's rumors. There's rumors in the media world. There's rumors in how much gossip do you hear during the combine that isn't always reported, right? Like, there's always gossip in the NFL world, or the GMs and the other executives and scouts. They all operate in that during the combine. So I'm sure, like, there was already phone calls made to Seattle before some of those reports are out, and they got to feel good that they're on the list. Gives you a better chance. But, my point on Russell Wilson goes back to my point about Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees, too. Like, when he went to the Super Bowl, Seahawks had the best defense in the league, second best running game in the league with Marshawn Lynch. I'm coming off like I'm telling the Bears not to make one of these big trades. I'm not.
Yes, you are.
All right. No, I don't want that to happen. I know what Kent's going to do. He's going to cut this, put it up on Twitter, and then I'll be in trouble and I'll be getting all this blowback. The Bears should absolutely entertain trade talks with these teams for a Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson, but there's got to be limits here. Neither of these guys want to come to a team that has nothing. That's what I'm saying. You got to make sure you maintain something for these quarterbacks.
But if it's mostly draft capital that you're giving up,
which I'm fine with.
What did you say about collaboration?
That's a good cut too.
I think the difference in you're probably going to pick up a lot of draft capital. I think that what you're talking about is like nothing left over. Like, I still think there'd be a lot left over for 2021. I think the issue would be, what do things look like in 2023, when this was already a window that seemed to be shutting defensively, and now you're giving up probably multiple first round picks. You already haven't had some the last couple years. What's the trickle down effect? But I'm also keeping a close eye on Los Angeles, because the Rams don't seem to give
They don't care about first round picks.
Two shits about their first round picks. They're gonna go 7 years.
Booyah. I'm not the one swearing on this podcast today.
I mean, but they still seem to be winning, right? They seem to be competitive. So, philosophies and ways of building teams, it's always a copycat league. And if the Rams can prove that it's doable, then maybe the Bears are willing to go down a similar thing. I don't think a day goes by that I don't think about this Robert Quinn contract. And the things that would be possible if you had not done that. I'm serious.
Yeah.
And it's way worse in hindsight, but I would also like to point out that I was on this early. Like, I questioned it from the very start. He did not seem like a guy that, when you considered the fit, he had never had a good season in a 3-4. Well, he'd only played in a 3-4 one year, and it was not good.
See, I wasn't worried about the 3-4 because they're in sub packages so much.
Yeah, but did you watch the season? Like, he was in positions that weren't comfortable to him.
Yeah. Well, that's on Chuck Pagano and Ted Mondaquino, who are no longer here for part of the Robert Quinn problem.
Yeah, you also had the issue where his stats and production seem to always be better on turf. And not only is he coming to grass, he's coming to one of the most questioned tracks that there is in football, Soldier Field. And then, but more so, like, just more specifically, it was, is this guy really worth, what was it, 10, 12 million more than Leonard Floyd? Because he really worth...
In the long run, it wasn't that much more than Leonard Floyd. It's only a couple million more than Leonard Floyd.
Well, for last year, right?
Yes. Now this year.
But that's what I'm saying. Now it's going up. And the great thing about the Leonard Floyd deal was that it was only 1 year. So now you're...
It's one of Ryan Pace. It's arguably... his worst free agent signing. Right? What's worse than that one?
Because it's really...
Okay, Mike Glennon, but that was more cover for the Trubisky selection. That's
and
how
even
I was
Glennon, you had an out.
After 1 year.
Yeah, I mean, you had like Cody Parkey. That wasn't a good signing. But overpaying for a kicker still has lower ramifications than overpaying for a pass rusher.
In terms of 30s.
The percentage of the cap. Trey Burton...
For 2018, that was a great signing.
Yeah, he was pretty good until he just wasn't there in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I guess let's not close the door completely on Robert Quinn here, but when I start every single day and I start looking at what's possible, how they fit in, granted, they didn't know a pandemic. Well, they did know actually a pandemic. When they signed him, the pandemic was here. And I would hope that at that point they were, granted, it was like literally the first week or so of everything being shut down when free agency happened last year, but I would hope that they were already projecting the fact that there was going to be significant business ramifications and the cap might go down.
Let's get to that point later. So, I want to bring that up.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, if you're like me, an outfit, good or bad, can impact your entire day. Wearing a starchy shirt, that just doesn't feel good. You're not comfortable. It's hard to look good and feel good at the same time. But that's where Roan comes in, because men's closets were due for a radical reinvention, and Roan stepped up to the challenge. Roan's commuter collection is the most comfortable, breathable, and truly versatile set of products known to man. They have products for every occasion. We're talking about the world's most comfortable pants, dress shirts, quarter zips, polos, blazers. They look great as individual pieces. They work seamlessly together. Roan's signature four-way stretch fabric is breathable, flexible, and works everywhere from your commute to work to even the 19th hole. It's time for unparalleled confidence without all the hassle. My favorite Roan shirt is this white dress shirt. Looks like a dress shirt, but it also looks casual at the same time. It's got anti-odor technology. They call it Gold Fusion, and it doesn't get wrinkled. It stays fresh and clean all day long. No lingering odors or anything like that. The Commuter Collection is easy to care for while staying fresh and odor-free. The Commuter Collection can get you through any workday, straight to whatever comes next. Head to roan.com/Adam. Use promo code Adam to save 20% off your entire order. That's 20% off your entire order when you head to Roan. That's rhone.com/Adam. Use code Adam. It is time to find your corner office comfort.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Let's get back to the quarterbacks, and let's hear what Matt Nagy had to say today about the quarterbacks. There's a couple of clips we're going to play here. First, we'll start with this one. I believe it's Hub Arkish with the question.
If you could have your pick of the quarterback to run the scheme that you hoped to run when you came to Chicago, what would be the three most important traits you'd be looking for? And relative to that, not having a combine or in-person visits, how much is that going to handicap you in discovering those traits?
Sure. So here's what I would say, and this is where when I first got hired, Hub, you come into this thing, and you know, obviously Mitchell being our young quarterback that's coming in, learning the system, being able to give you the dual threat that can run, but can also has the arm and the ability to make every throw in the playbook, which he does. And so you start off there and you say that, but then as you go through it, right, and you start to see where your team is at with your players and their strengths that they have and how it fits. Now you start kind of tweaking your offense a little bit to turn it into the Chicago Bears offense, right? And not necessarily the Kansas City offense. There's stuff that we like from that offense that we brought here. There's stuff we've gotten away from. There's stuff we've added it as far as this year in 2020. But that would be one part is do you have versatility and being able to you don't have to be running all over the field, but have some movement. Great. If you don't, we'll work around that. The other part I'd say is decision making. Every quarterback coach in the world will tell you that. It's when you make those decisions. I think situational football, y'all have heard me say it over and over, is important with decision making. And then having the leadership skills. And when I say that, every quarterback leads in different ways. I was around a guy with Alex Smith who was that happy medium where he wasn't a yeller and screamer at the guys, but he wasn't quiet. He was right down the middle. And every guy has kind of their own ways that they do it, but they all lead in a certain way and they multiply the players around them. And so I'd say leadership, decision-making, and if you have some versatility as a quarterback with your legs, great. If you don't, no problem. We can work around it.
He name dropped Alex Smith.
Yeah. Yeah.
When he did that, I immediately texted Kevin Fishbane. I'm like, oh, no, he didn't. Like, here we go.
Yeah, that was interesting. But, you know, like you said earlier, there's some strategery going on
some
here.
Strategery. Good pull.
You might want to be throwing people off the scent by throwing out the most obvious quarterback you possibly could right now.
Everybody in the NFL knows that Matt Nagy loves Alex Smith. That dude brings him up how many times a year? 12?
Couple.
I'm exaggerating.
Couple 12 times.
Couple times a year.
Couple two tree, 20 times.
He does.
Hey, I want to just play the very end of this one more time because I just want to make sure I heard it correctly.
And so I'd say leadership, decision making, and if you have some versatility as a quarterback with your legs, great. If you don't, no problem. We can work around it.
Yeah, that was almost like him catching himself because he knows Nick Foles doesn't have that. I still think that's pretty important, like especially when you listen to me. First of all, for like everyone saying these guys didn't say much today, and they really didn't. That was a really interesting answer, I thought, from Matt Nagy, and a good answer. And you go back and how that applies to Mitch Trubisky, which is how he started that answer. You know, Trubisky had two of the three of those things. He had the mobility and the arm strength. So essentially the talent, right? He had the leadership, I thought. You know, no one's ever questioned his role as a leader or the work he put in. It was the middle one, the decision making, that just never really panned out. And by the way, you know, not to go into the whole thing about like defending the pick, but that's always the hardest thing to figure out. You know, at any position, how these guys are going to make the jump from the college to pro level. There's always a projection there. There's always a guessing game there. And that's the hardest thing to figure out. What they really want to, they do all the combine stuff to check the talent, and they do all the interview stuff and the background check to try to get an idea how much they love football and how big of a leader they could potentially be. But it's that middle thing that Nagy brought up, the decision making, And at other positions, you might call it more like intangibles. You know, just sort of that it factor that some guys have, some guys don't, but you almost always can't know for sure until they get to the league. And unfortunately, in Mitch's case, and you can always go back and criticize the fact that he didn't have a, you know, 13 starts in college and it wasn't a big enough sample size. Sure, that's all what made the evaluation even tougher, I guess. But the other guys had some red flags too. Anyway, whatever. It didn't work out.
I think some of the criticism of Mitch is the decision making on when to use some of that athleticism.
I agree.
Whether it's scrambling or buying more time and letting your guys get open a little bit differently. It's just, in terms of that it factor and making those it plays, when you need your quarterback to be that guy, they didn't do it enough. Simply didn't do it enough.
So, since that middle part that he's talking about, the decision making, like they pretty much have that answer now, right? Hasn't worked out. Why in the world would they bring him back? Right? It doesn't add up. So, yes, everything might be on the table. But, and you touched on it earlier very briefly, though. The other side of this is Mitch has to want to come back. And I would totally 100% understand and probably agree with if his thinking is, nah, I need to find a different offense and I need to find a different coaching staff because maybe there's still a better fit out there that can get more of that out of me since I do have the talent and I do have the work ethic and I do have the leadership. Is there something that can draw that decision-making out of me more? It's a possibility. I'm not saying it's likely, but a change of scenery could help him.
You know what it's like, at least from the Bears' perspective? It's like when you go to a wedding, you don't know who's at your table. You hope certain friends are at your table or certain personalities
or
at your table.
Or certain friends aren't.
Yes, So, like, you're the Bears going to this wedding. God, I hope Russell Wilson's at this table. Deshaun Watson's there. And then you walk in and you look at the numbers, you know, which number you have. And then you see, like, Mitch Trubisky there, you know, table 11. Let's call it table 10 is there. But it hasn't been picked up yet. So maybe he's not going to show up, so you could just move on. You won't be there. You don't have to worry about that. Kind of like that.
How's everyone doing? This is Nick Foles. Just entered the meeting.
Is Nick Foles at the table?
Yeah, he's at the table. He was there early. Picked it up.
Okay. What about this guy?
That's the facts. That's 100% truth.
Not invited.
He used to be at the table.
Used to be at the table, but did not
Kendall
get
Kendall Fuller is best when he's off and can break on the football.
What about Kendall Fuller? Oh, that's a different position.
That's a different conversation for later in this podcast.
Yeah.
Chris, Matt Nagy's always been kind of the ass half full kind of guy.
Chris, am I at the table?
He's more on your, like, C list. I'm being mean, no. I'm kidding, Chris Emma, when you listen to this and people tweet at you.
Chris Emma? Kidding.
Robert, what kind of dog do you have?
I have a Rottweiler.
Oh, you're just going through the whole playlist here, and he's definitely going to hear about this, and he's definitely going to come at us.
Do you know that, like, every time Chris tweets, someone responds to him, there you go?
Poor guy.
It's an amazing bit.
It is.
Unfortunately, I think it really bothers him.
Yes. So we're sorry, but not fully sorry.
I'm not that sorry because it's an amazing bit. You know, it's kind of like the people that always respond the same way to like every Adam Schefter tweet.
That, yeah. That interaction that Chris Emma had with Robert Quinn could turn out to be the most memorable thing Robert Quinn has ever done for the Chicago Bears. I'm not exaggerating here. I don't think I am. I'm not. At least in the podcast world. That is a lasting memory.
I'm not listening, Chris.
Yeah.
What did you say about collaboration?
That's right. Let's get us back on track, Matt Nagy. Here's the other Nagy thing on the quarterback. So basically, all right, so Trubisky's out of the picture. What's next? And honestly, this is like a question we're always talking about. Of all the options out there, which ones actually make you better, right? Which ones are actually an upgrade over Mitch Trubisky.
Like, how many options are there that you can point at right now today and say, you know what, I'm good with that?
So what I would say to you, Brad, is on that is that there's several, and we can't get into that right now, but there's a lot of different what ifs, and there's a lot of different, okay, here we are, this is where we're at, and if it's X, you know, quarterback X, Y, or Z, including the guys that we discussed with Mitchell and Nick, what do we do to get this thing better? Because in the end, we got to score more points and we got to score more touchdowns, regardless of anything. And it's not just one position. It's not. It's everywhere. And we feel like with some of the younger guys that we drafted this past year and previous years, guys are really jumping into their specific roles, and they can help multiply that quarterback position. They can help out. And so without getting into the directions of every one of them, I think the biggest thing is, you know, do we have a plan? Will we have a plan? Could things change? Absolutely. Without a doubt, things could change. And then we got to make sure from the coaching standpoint, right? Myself, Bill Lazor, Flip, we got to make sure offensively that we're always communicating with Ryan so that he understands where we're at and how it's a fit or not a fit.
You know, Nagy's always talking about that multiplier. Like at a lot of different positions, you know, he wants that at quarterback more than any other position. So that's why I keep going back to, if there's even a sliver of a crack of a possibility that you can get Russell Wilson or even Deshaun Watson, you got to try. Now, Pace also brought up the timing, because you don't want to be stuck and you can't wait forever. That's what, again, why I compare these two situations. I think Houston's in more of a stalemate where it might go through free agency. To me, there's sort of like a smart, soft deadline of the draft where I think they're really going to hurt maybe their value if they hold on to them past the draft. But if I'm the Seahawks and I'm seriously potentially considering the, you know, trading Russell Wilson, I'd probably want to do that as soon as possible.
Well, the Seahawks strike me as the smarter of the two teams. Significantly smarter of the two teams.
Yeah, I'd say so. They're probably the most consistent culture going right now in the NFL, for being honest, over the last decade.
Yeah, so the Jay Cutler trade always comes to mind because it's the last time a young quarterback nearing his prime or possibly in his prime was traded. And it's the best comparable for Watson because they don't have these things come up a lot. But so I believe that happened in April, right? So that was post-free agency.
I believe it was on April Fool's Day.
I think you're
or
right.
Or the day, or after. It was April 2nd, the day after?
It was close to it. Yeah. But that's after free agency. That's after the new league right. year opened. That's after the first wave, the second wave, the third wave. You're on to the lower fringes of free agency by that point, well into it. Denver finally had enough and made their move. But I want to say the Texans won't allow this to go past the draft. But you never know. They let it get this bad before.
Dude, talk about everything being on the table. They have maybe the most unqualified person ever running that organization right now. And no one knows. It's like a complete wild card what they're going to do. At any given moment. Congratulations to J.J. Watt, by the way, for getting the hell out of there.
Yeah, yeah. So like the Khalil Mack thing plays out all the way up to the start of the 2018 season. But that's a pass rusher.
Yeah, that's different.
I can honestly envision the Texans prolonging it to the point where fines are issued against Deshaun Watson. Correct me if I'm wrong, Adam, but by taking away some of the guy's money, I don't think that's a great way to repair a relationship. But.
Right. I mean, I don't know that all that does to me is it's certainly not going to help you bring him back.
No.
But it may just be sort of a spite thing where, like, all right, if you're really going to do this, we're just going to dock your pay.
Yeah, yeah. But that's just bad operation, though, by the Texans, because his value is now, it's not the same as it once was during the draft or even pre-free agency.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Allen Robinson. It's been an interesting. I mean, in a lot of ways, it's a very typical franchise tag situation. You know, it's not. We've been through this before. One interesting nugget is that to me at least, Brandon Parker is the son, and Brandon Parker is Allen Robinson's agent. For those who don't know, he is the son of Eugene Parker, a legendary agent who also represented Alshon Jeffrey when the Bears tagged Alshon Jeffrey. Ryan Pace was the general manager when that happened. So, while he's not exactly his dad, this is a situation that this, you know, agency and family has been through before with a wide receiver and the Bears in this regime. Couple differences, one being right away, Allen Robinson's better than Alshon Jeffrey.
No.
Yeah, and he's overall, he's more valuable on and off the field. So, now, Jeffrey ended up playing under the tag and then left a year later.
And then got his deal from the Eagles.
And the Bears never really missed him.
How about you play Pace and Nagy? Then I want to ask you a question.
Okay. I can do that. Here are Pace and Nagy. When you look at Fishbane,
the Allen Robinson situation, I think this might be kind of a first for you here where you have a guy of that profile who's going to be a free agent. How do you view it from your spot as a head coach? Because obviously Ryan and Joey take care of the business side of it, and you know what he brings to your offense. So what role do you play, and how do you kind of what's your perspective on that?
So I would say, Kevin, the biggest thing is anytime you get into these type of situations with these players across the league, it's never easy. It's never fun, but it's real. And that process is what you try to do ultimately, right, is you try to get to that win-win in a perfect scenario. A-Rob knows how much we love him. A-Rob knows, you know, how much that me as a head coach and Ryan as a general manager – the importance that he brings to this city, to the organization, to his teammates, to all of us. And then now you run into, the things that he has done with us and the things that we have done for him, being able to help him be productive. Now you get to this point, and this is where Ryan and Joey will do their thing, and A-Rob and his agent work together, and you just try to figure out, okay, where is it a win-win? And from my perspective, I let them do that part. And, again, I've had a million conversations with A-Rob in 3 years, and he's well aware of what he means to all of us. And this is just the business side. And we're not the only team in the NFL that's dealing with this right now.
Ryan, are you committed to bringing Allen back for 2021, regardless of what it takes, whether it's a new contract or franchise tag? Are you counting on him? Can you ensure that he's going to be on the Bears in 2021?
We love Allen Robinson. He's a great player for us, Jason. We know that. And not just the player, but the teammate, the professional that he is. Again, the franchise tag is an option for us. It doesn't mean we're necessarily going to use that, but we want to keep our good players, and Allen is a good player for us.
Would you pay Allen Robinson $25 million per year? That would make him in terms of annual average, I'm just throwing numbers out there. I don't have confirmed numbers here. Just throwing them out there. That would make him the second receiver in terms of average annual average, trailing only DeAndre Hopkins.
I thought you were going to say 20. So 25 is considerably 20, more.
20 would make him tied with Amari Cooper at fourth. Just below Keenan Allen, who I think is who I would use as a good, I don't want to use measuring stick, but a good comparable in a sense for Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with DeAndre Hopkins' deal is it was fewer years and a higher average value.
Just a two-year deal.
Yeah. So, I mean, not to dodge your question, but I guess it depends. You know, if it's a shorter term, maybe, but I don't think that makes sense for the Bears. Like, in this case, I feel like it makes sense to do a longer term deal at a lower average value. Not only to keep you want to keep Robinson longer, but also like because of your cap situation.
Well, look at these receiver deals. None of them are like 5 or 6. So let me just go over the duration of some of these deals. Hopkins, 2-year deal. Julio Jones, 3-year deal. Keenan Allen, 4-year deal. Amari Cooper right now, the longest at 5. Michael Thomas, 2 at 5. So I know what you're saying. Odell Beckham Jr. at 5. So maybe 5 is the max on this. What I would suggest to everybody trying to read everything into this Allen Robinson situation is the Bears don't even know what the salary cap is going to be yet for 2021. Ryan Pace today said he expected it to be around $180 million. He also expected that there might be a crazy amount of movement this year because of what the salary cap means. So it's hard to be patient, especially when Allen Robinson, let's be honest, he had a media blitz last week, did he not? I felt like he was doing an interview every single week, every single day. Was that last week or 2 weeks ago? Last week. I understand it's easy to get into all that, but I would, if I'm the Bears, I would like to know what the salary cap number is before I make any decisions on any long-term deals.
Well, that's a good point. And we should know the cap here relatively soon. And when's the deadline again on the tag?
A week from today, I believe.
Yeah, it's the 9th, I believe. Boy, I would hope the NFL would give you the numbers on the cap before you have to make franchise tag decisions. Then again, like MLB didn't know until like 2 weeks ago whether or not there was going to be a DH. Well, all these DHs were on the market, so who the hell knows how sports are operating right now? I think there's a big difference though between the NFL and Major League Baseball. All right, let's go back to the numbers. So the Keenan Allen deal to me has always made a lot of sense. He's 28, 4 years, $80.1 million overall. Now only 26.5 of that's actually guaranteed. I would guarantee more of that. I guess the practical guarantee.
I would double that for Robinson personally.
Well, the guarantee money.
Yeah.
Yeah, the practical guarantees in there were $43 million. But anyway, to me, those are numbers that make sense. I mean, that basically says, is Allen Robinson worth $20 million a year? I would argue when you look at the Bears' offense, he is the offense. So, yes. And I think if you ever got him a quarterback of the caliber of a Russell Wilson, how good would he be then? Like, there's a very good chance he's going to outperform what you just paid him, even at $480 million.
But that's another part of this conversation. Sure, you want to pay Allen Robinson, but if you're making a play for one of these big-time quarterbacks, they're coming with contracts too, man.
Yeah.
How are you going to make the cap work? I get that it's always fluid. I get that some extensions, some releases can create all sorts of space for you. But there's got to be, again, to use the word limit, there's got to be limits to this. You got to make it work. You can't be releasing all these good players and hope everything works.
Well, this is a totally different conversation, but along those lines, I've been thinking about how a Russell Wilson trade would work. I would almost think you would sign him to a new deal and structure it to help you out these next couple of years. So give him a huge signing bonus so you could spread that out. And then the actual salary numbers, like this year for sure, and next year would be relatively lower. And I think he's only signed for 3 more years. Like if you trade for Russell Wilson, you want him to be your quarterback for at least 5 years anyway. So, give him a deal that goes to the end of his career. And then you can manipulate the money so he still gets his money. He probably even gets a raise out of that, right? And he's worth more than $19 million, which is what he's getting paid this year. So you help that out a little bit, but in the form of a signing bonus, it helps your cap situation, it helps you fit him in. That's what I would almost have to say definitely happens if you're making a deal like that.
Yeah, it's a good point. And I'm glad you brought it up too, because there's this perception that you're waving at me.
I'm waving at the almost creepy child standing behind you.
Don't say that. There's nobody behind me.
Yes, there is. There's nobody here. The people listening to this podcast cannot understand what just happened. But
Adam Hogue freaked me out that there's a child behind me. There is no child behind me.
There was, though.
Oh, is somebody here?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Or I'm seeing things and you have a ghost.
No. He's
or
here.
The sixth sense is happening.
He snuck downstairs. Go to bed. Search for my...
This is what happens when we do late night podcasts.
Yes, yes. It's 8:55. My son has snuck down behind me.
I'm glad it's actually your son. I was worried like the sixth sense was happening.
You worried about your sixth sense? I'm worried about what I got going on in the house then.
What was that kid's name? Haley Joel Osment or whatever just popped up in your house?
Yeah, yeah. And his career has never been the same.
Wait. We should be careful. We're not allowed to talk about movies or pop culture at all. People get mad.
Anyway.
Hashtag stick to football.
Before I call the ghost hunters over to this house, I'm glad you brought up to this point because there's like this discussion that Pace and Nagy are going to get crazy about the short term and it's going to affect the long term. Like any quarterback they acquire, like if it's Watson or Wilson or Carr, that affects both. If there's anything we've learned from the Jay Cutler thing, that type of move, it endures. Like Jerry Angelo made it to save his ass, but he still played for Phil Emery and Ryan Pace.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's those type of swings stick with organizations. They just do. Like you said, if they trade for Russell Wilson, you're talking about already giving him a 2-year extension. And that makes complete sense if you got to fit Robinson in the cap too.
Yeah. Well, it'd be a win-win for everyone because you get him more money. You know, you get him in. It helps alleviate what we were talking about too, which is what the hell does the team look like after you have to trade for him? Russell would almost certainly want to help that, right? Russell Wilson, if he's coming to Chicago, he wants to play with Allen Robinson, which, by the way, is another point here. So if this thing goes to, which we all think it will, where Robinson gets tagged. Here's another quick thing I want to talk about. So the tag deadline of next week is just sort of an extra deadline to potentially get a deal done. If you want to avoid the tag, this is what's on the table. Chances are, and I don't know what the Bears are offering at this point, certainly the reports back in the fall were not anywhere near Keenan Allen's deal. So look, the guy played through the season. He inherited the injury risk. You better be opening your deal. Otherwise, I would say the Bears are not negotiating in good faith. But anyway, if that deadline passes, so you tag him, well, I guess that just buys time. It's probably going to be something that lingers into spring, summer. But if all of a sudden you trade for Russell Wilson, maybe that changes Allen Robinson's tune a little bit. Maybe he's willing to take a little bit less to make that happen. I don't know. If I'm him, I would certainly want to be playing with a better quarterback.
So his tag is going to be around, what, $18 million? It's different than other players. So, like, Odell Beckham Jr. has an $18 million AAV, your average annual average, or did I say that right, value. He's only 25 years old, Odell. I didn't know that. I feel like he's been in the league forever. Anyway, obviously Robinson wants, and I would still say deserves more than that.
Yep. But it's another reason why if they were Bears and you could say, oh, you know, we might actually be saving some money by tagging him, making him play under the tag. But I don't know. It's a complicated situation. We'll see where that goes next week, but I imagine we're doing a Tuesday podcast talking about the tag being applied.
I concur.
Okay. Last thing. What was the most interesting thing you heard today?
Why did Ryan Pace not commit to Akiem Hicks and Kyle Fuller to being on the roster in 2021? Did you find that curious as well?
Because if they traded for Russell Wilson, they'd probably have to move those guys.
Yeah. It was very interesting wording.
Yeah.
Very interesting response to that question from our guy Potsy, Mark Potash.
Pretty direct question. He did not give a direct answer.
No. Did he even, like, tuck the guys up as valuable players? a bit. I found it curious. Obviously, if you look at their contracts, go over the cap or spot track, spot track, whatever you want to do to look at their deals, like Hicks could be released and it could save you a lot of money. Kyle Fuller can be released and that can save you a lot of money. Now, I would say maybe extend those guys to lower those numbers, but Hicks is in his 30s. Kyle Fuller, one interception last year. So there's ways to view this. I thought it was very interesting.
I also think in the situation of Kyle Fuller, we don't necessarily know specifically how Sean Desai wants to play defense. And I don't know, but what if he wants a guy that can move around more and is not just so locked down to one side of the field? At that money. So it's just...
Vic Fangio made it work. Who's replacing Kyle Fuller?
He did.
I know what you're saying, but if you need the money for Russell Wilson, again, this is part of the conversation about having a good overall football team. I understand it, but maybe I try to work out an extension so you're not completely shorthanded at one of the most, other than quarterback, one of the more important positions in football.
Look, Kyle Fuller is a good player. No one is doubting. I'm not doubting that at all. I would say for what he gave you in terms of game-changing type plays and getting his hands on the football last year, you can allocate that money in other areas.
And it's fair.
Corner is a spot where you can, I don't want to say go on the cheap, but you can go a lot cheaper than $20 million cap hit.
So with the Bears,
and get by, and get by. That's all I'm saying.
So what the Bears actually did was like they added void years to Fuller's contract to help with some of the bonus, right? And you know, so usually that sets you up for a potential extension to lower a cap number, because his cap number is $20 million this year for the 2021 season. That is.
Remember, the Packers backloaded that offer sheet to him.
Yes.
Which was different at the time of how Ryan Pace was doing most of his contracts. And from the jump, you knew that this was going to be something that he was probably going to be giving you a bigger cap hit than you wanted towards the end. And then they restructured it too. So
if they release him with a post-June 1st designation, you save $14 million.
It's a lot.
Against the cap.
But I also think he has trade value. Because he's not a complete obvious. But you know what? I would say, you know, what was it you said earlier that Pace said about how like this could be an unprecedented offseason in terms of guys becoming available or moving? Like, that's an example. Akeem Hicks would be an example too. And I know I've heard that from a lot of different places, that there are people around the league who believe that there's going to be more surprising cuts and trades than ever because of the money, because of the cap going up. This is something, at least since I started covering the NFL, I'm used to the cap going up $10 million every year. This is weird
It going down. Yeah. If the Bears release Akeem Hicks, you don't even need a post-June 1st designation to save money here. You save $10.5 million against the cap. He's 32 years old.
It's tough. But then you start talking about how good the defense is going to be, because we've seen the Bears' defense without Akeem Hicks before.
Like, and you talk about culture. Let me correct myself. He's 31 still. He'll turn. Yeah. I think he turns 32 during the season. But if you're talking about culture, I feel like Akeem Hicks embodies that almost better than anyone than you currently have on your roster. Right, like that's a seismic move. I would. I don't know what the extension can be, but I'd almost try to entertain that first before anything else.
But again, I think these are the. It depends. This is why everything's so fluid. It depends on who are you making that cap space for. You know, I don't think that Fuller and Hicks are moves to just get under $180 million. If that's the problem. I think those are moves that you're only clearing that cap space for a big fish.
The quarterback.
Like a quarterback.
Like, so if you're down to playing it's called Plan E, where you sign Alex Smith and you draft the Mac Jones. You're keeping these guys.
Yeah, I better have a really good defense then.
The best you can field, buddy.
Yeah, so I'm not giving up Akeem Hicks. But if you're telling me, is it an either-or situation? If I can have Russell Wilson, but you have to give up Akeem Hicks and Kyle Fuller, yeah, I'd probably do that. Actually, I'd definitely do that, 100%. And I don't know if there's anyone in the city that's talked up Akeem Hicks the way I have the last 5 years or whatever it's been. So, yeah, it's going to be fascinating. Which is why the actions matter more than words. What most interesting thing I heard today was when Pace was just briefly interjected about the Khalil Mack trade. I think John Greenberg did that when he was talking about like the chatter and if you're following it, and then is that what happened with Khalil Mack? He specifically referenced how that was something that did not seem realistic and then became reality. Which is why it was the most interesting thing I heard. Some things might not seem realistic.
I think what has to happen for it to become attainable is that Ryan Pace comes on this podcast and we ask him about it almost directly again.
And then he dodges it.
And then he dodges it.
And then he does the trade a week later.
Russell Wilson, your new starting quarterback.
I mean, I think what you're saying, and I agree with it, is that we're the reason why Khalil Mack was traded to Chicago.
100%. 100%.
I mean, it really does make perfect sense. And, I mean, that to me is the definition of collaboration.
What did you say about collaboration?
By the way, you can get a collaboration. Collaborating since 2015 t-shirt on Obvious Shirts.
And which, part of the proceeds, Adam, dude. Go to a good cause. Let's not.
Yes, 22Q Family Foundation.
Yeah, there you go.
That t-shirt, by the way, is in reference to us. It's just a coincidence that Ryan Pace also started in 2015, but so did this podcast. We've been collaborating since 2015.
I don't think he was collaborating well with John Fox.
No, I don't think the collaboration there started until 2018. No. But we've been collaborating since 2015.
There we go.
So.
There you go.
There you go. There you go.
Chris Emma.
Robert, what kind of dog do you have?
I have a Rottweiler.
There you go.
All right. We need to get out of here. We got to get our kids and our ghosts to bed. Follow us on
My
Twitter.
My heart did jump for a little bit. Like, what the heck did you just see?
Well, what's creepy is he was in the dark behind you. There's like a tiny dark corner where your wall cuts off.
Yeah, it goes
and
into
he
the
was
other
just
room.
Like a figurine of a child. So... it already looked creepy, but for you to turn around and look at that and not see him really freaked me out. Because now I'm like, freaked well, what am I out. Seeing? What am I seeing?
You're miles away. This is right behind me. I'm glad it's you, son, who's still right next to me.
All right. Well, let's get him to bed. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. You can read about all this stuff, NBCSportsChicago.com, TheAthletic.com/HoganJohns. Good stuff. And I wish we could say we were, you know, going to have another episode from Indianapolis later this week, but there is no Indy.
This is usually where we would be going out for a steak. Hit the night scene.
Yeah, it's
get
10.
Some good
it's,
gossip.
It's already past 10 o'clock in Indy. I mean, we're out.
It's good gossip hour.
We're getting the gossip. You've ditched Kevin and I for some secret meeting somewhere.
I missed
that. We'll see you by 11:30.
I'm texting you guys. Where you at?
Yeah. But no, we're just sitting at home with ghosts in our house, wishing we were. This podcast would have been out a lot earlier.
Yeah, it's true.
We would have talked to Pace and Nagy in the morning, not in the afternoon. So everything screwed up. But hey, we're getting close, right? Get vaccinated. We're getting there. We're getting there. Be safe. Appreciate everybody listening. Appreciate everyone buying those t-shirts. Appreciate everybody following, subscribing, telling the friends about this podcast. Our listeners are the best. We thank you. And we'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
What did you say about collaboration?
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.